Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, even now, as your manservant is here, Lord, we ask that you might just hide him behind the cross. Father, we pray that self will not be seen, but Jesus Christ will be lifted up. When he is lifted up, men will be drawn unto him, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. Now, the last time we spoke here, we spoke from the book of Hebrews, and we're talking about the race of faith. And I think we made references back to Hebrews chapter 11, which is a chapter on faith. If you ask anyone about faith, that is the chapter in the Bible that they will look at. And we referenced chapter 11, but in our message the last time, we looked at three things, and three is always a magic number, it seems to me. We consider the lettuces of Scripture. Let us lay aside hindrances, let us run the race, and let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. We also examined Hebrews chapter 12, which spoke about the cloud of witnesses, and we sought to clarify some things that are said about those scriptures. We won't go into that this morning. But we also looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which now we spoke about the faith chapter. Now we also referenced the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And that's going to be the springboard this morning. And we'll just read the last verse. Speaks a lot about faith, which we dealt with. But the last verse says, "And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Abided faith, and we dealt with that. And in a measure, I don't think I could, exhaust what the scripture says about faith in a session. We sought to pick out a few. So I'm sure others will speak on this from time to time. We can't exhaust it. Now, today we want to look at the second prong, hope. And, before we go in, this is what we see three, these three. And as I prepared, I realized that, as we said, a lot of things are in the scriptures we call triads, three things. And here we see one of the triads, faith, hope, and love. And I know there are many students here of the word, but not all in the scripture. We think of ourselves. We are body, soul, and spirit. Then we think of it, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then when we look at even the very opening scripture of the Bible, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Step back a little. There we see a triad of triads. In the beginning, that's time. Now, time can either be past, present, or future. So in that scripture, three things we are seeing: time, space, and matter. Very three important things for our existence. Time, space, and matter. In the beginning, time. Time is past, present, future. God created the heaven. Space. Space is length, width, or height. He created the earth. The earth is solid, liquid, and gas. So even there, triads of triads. Just an observation. Now, as we look today, we want to move on and think of the second prong, which is hope, from chapter 13 of the first Corinthians, first book of the Paul to the Corinthians, which says, now abide three: love, faith, hope, and love. So we see there are so many trials. And as I sit and think of it, John spoke about even yet another trial. In John chapter 2, it says, all that is in the world is there? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Do you take that up as a research and just see what is revealed in scripture? But this morning, we want to consider hope, and specifically Christian hope. So the reading there from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The first thing, so I've been speaking about triads, three things. I couldn't come with 4 points this morning. That would be a travesty of justice. So I have 3 points we want to share this morning. And firstly, we want to just review faith, which we looked at last time we spoke. And concerning the definition, if there can be considered to be a definition for faith, which we are talking about Christian faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Another translation, and here we are going to later on talk about the differentiation between faith and hope. But we just want to start off. Another translation says, faith is the confidence and assurance of things not seen. Confidence and assurance of things not seen. So even though we are not seeing it, we are substantiating it. It's like evidence. And what is evidence? I take you to the courtroom. Evidence is presented in a court. And in my mind, I don't watch a lot of TVs, but when you see a law show coming on and they ask, present the evidence, in my mind's eye, there's always a little plastic bag that somebody comes up with and says, here is the evidence, right? Correct. So that's the evidence of, and it is displayed in the courthouse. So what is faith? It is that evidence. So even though we can't see it, what one person says, and I was reading it, it's and I might have referred to it in the past, it is that which settles at the bottom of the test tube. So faith is that evidence, though we don't see it, we are substantiating it. We can actually see it, feel it, and touch it. That's what the scripture says. It is evidence of the things that you cannot see, but it is substance. It can be held. Now, what is saving faith? Again, we need to look at the scriptures as we consider faith. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us what saving faith is. It says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Okay? It is not of ourselves. So it is a gift of God. So what is that gift? You know, I was sitting and meditating on it and thinking about it. By grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God. The grace is given to us by God. God grants us grace and favor. But I think when it says it is the gift of God, even the faith that we have is a gift from God. The faith is a gift from God. Let's look at it. And the scripture even seeks to advance that thought. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We're going to have to look at a very interesting passage here. Romans chapter 10, we're going to read verse 17, but we're going to go back to verse 14. But I find verse 17 answers some of the things. So then, faith comes by hearing. The faith that we are going to display in God, the faith that we are going to have in God, it comes by what? The scripture says, not Tony Hamilton, it comes by hearing. And how does hearing come? What, how do you hear and have that faith? Hearing is by the word of God. So even that faith granted to us is given to us by God. Let's backtrack a little now. And here it is. Look at verse 14. And the context of this really is about Israel. It's talking about Israel and their need to hear the gospel. But I think there can be application to anyone when we think of this passage. Yes, Paul was referring specifically to the nation of Israel, but there is application in the scripture. How then shall they call on him? And think of it. How shall anyone call on him? All right. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are people going to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Because they don't believe in him. And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So they need to call on him, but they need to believe. And how they're going to believe if they did not hear? And how will they hear if there's not a preacher? And how shall they preach? That's a preacher now. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good news. And we read verse 17. So then, Paul was now saying, look at all the arguments that he is laying out. You know, how are they going to believe if they didn't hear? And if they didn't hear, and if someone didn't go and tell them, and how did that person not go and tell them if they were not sent? And Paul is saying, now, so then, faith comes by hearing. So it is only as we hear the word of God that we will have faith in him. So what we're saying, even that faith is from the Lord. So when we say, yes, we realize that as human beings, God has granted us intellect. God has granted us common sense to reason, think through. Yes. But it is the Spirit of God who is going to draw us unto himself. It's not our trying to convince. It's another scripture says, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that anybody who comes, anyone under any circumstance that comes to the Lord, anyone that is convinced through the word of God that they have a need for the Savior. Of course, the speaker, as he prepares, he seeks to convince. But it is not my preparation, it is not my will, it is not my strength that anyone will come to know Jesus Christ. Not by will, not by our will. It is by the word of God, by the Spirit of God that draws men unto him. So we can, that doesn't excuse us to say, well, it's all from the Spirit of God. We need to do nothing. The scripture says, how will they go if they are not sent? And indeed, we are sent. Some are sent in different capacities. Some take it on a full-time job. full-time job. We won't go into that. They take it on as a full-time calling and do that as their daily work. And that's how the Lord calls them. Some, it is while they're working, they have other kind of employment. It doesn't mean that they are not called and they are not sent. The scripture tells us in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. I know you can all rattle that off. Matthew chapter 28, as we look at it. Verse 19, there he says, go in there, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. Go. He just says, go. So how we go is how the Lord calls us to go. And we believe that, you know, wherever the Lord puts us, that there is a field of opportunity there. Thank the Lord. I've been here in Canada quite a few years. But when we look at it, when we look at the terrain of the land, I think we are positioned at a prime area in terms of the community around us, access to persons on the 401 getting here to us, 404 getting here to us, that kind of thing. The diverse neighborhood that we have. And I say that to say this, that wherever we are, wherever it is that God has placed us, that is where we are to flourish. And that is where we are called upon to do that which he has called us to do. I always have this thought that you in your small corner, I remember that song quite vividly, and I in mine. I had opportunity to, you know, a few weeks ago, talk to a few of my friends, and in Jamaica, we graduated from high school many, many moons ago. The sun has gone around so many times. But, you know, and some of them, they are doing varying things in various fields. And this is the thought that wherever we are, some are doing it on a national scale and their involvement. But I say, you in your small corner, and I, man, I can create the kind of impact that I can where I am placed. A microphone might never come. A national news media might never come and place a microphone in my face. But then I am there in that small corner. Now, the thing about faith as we continue is that when we examine faith, it's usually present tense. When you consider faith, when we talk about faith, instances where you see faith being explained in the Bible, it is usually talking about faith today. Or, just break, there is an instance sometimes we see in the scripture where you can look back and see the faith of others in their lives. And you can see how they show their faith to the Lord. And you can look back at those moments, how they express faith in the Lord. But when we consider faith, it is a present tense, usually present tense. Notwithstanding that, you can look back and see how God has worked in people's lives. Not only that, but think of ourselves also. You know, as we, you know, get older, we can look back and say, oh, this was a time when this happened and we had faith in the Lord, and look how the Lord carried me through. And that should encourage us in our current circumstances. If he delivered the way that he did deliver back then, I can have faith in him. I can put everything in him. I can have the confidence that this that he has called me to do, he will deliver. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is present tense. And you know what? Faith, I believe, we're going to look at hope is also the foundation of everything. Because foundation on which our lives are built. I think of there's a building going across the street. And we see how they are building that building. You sometimes take a note of the progress, the changes. But even before they started to lay anything, there was a lot of work being done on the foundation. We want to compare that to our faith. And I don't know, perhaps later on they will have a penthouse, all right? But they did not start with the penthouse. They started with the foundation, which is like faith. Everything is built on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So next thing we like to look at is compare faith with hope. Is there a difference between faith and hope? Okay, here's what Paul says, and Paul speaks about that. And Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. And the answer is quite clear that yes, there's a difference between faith and hope. For one thing, I'll tell you what hope is not. Hope is not where you're going to sit down and roll and cross your fingers and think that, okay, I hope that that's going to happen. Or I think, it will happen and keep on crossing. That's not biblical hope, all right? Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. Okay, for we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. If you're going to see it, then why do you hope for it? All right? For why does one still hope for what he sees? And that's reasonable. That is exactly what it is. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. If you can see it, it is not hope. It is there. Hope is futuristic. And like how someone says it, John Piper, biblical hope is biblical faith in future tense. Biblical hope is biblical faith in future tense. But yes, we have hope. And I think, look at what Paul also says. We can lose hope, you know. Sometimes we have this hope. The Lord has placed this hope in our hearts. We can lose hope. We saw that on the Emmaus Road. The disciples who were on the Emmaus Road. Let's read it. Luke chapter 24. I think verse 20. So they were walking along the way. The disciples were walking along the way. And I think in verse 20, after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the ladies had gone to the tomb. Luke. The ladies had gone to the tomb, and there it was empty. And then the men were on the road to Emmaus. And verse 20 says, they were downcast, they were dejected, and someone had pulled up alongside them, and their eyes were beholden, so they could not see at that time. Verse 19. And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And all the chief priests and our elders delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him." So they were talking to this person. And here's what they said. So these persons had walked along with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. So they had lost hope. We had hope that we had this hope that he was going to come and redeem Israel. But you know what? Now our hopes are dashed. Well, we see that later on in this passage, they regained their hope. look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we think of the Christian hope. And our hope is in the Lord, and our hope is not just in this life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 to 19. That's a long passage there, but I'll just read a part of it. Okay. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, and we're talking about resurrection here of our Lord Jesus Christ, or do some say among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? Paul was just talking about people having their views about resurrection. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. So we have been a false witness that Christ was raised. Yes, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead be not raised. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if and Paul is using an argument and building up an argument, as we know he often does. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sin. There is nothing to it. All that we would have been doing, having this hope of this resurrection, it's all dead. If Christ wasn't risen, but we thank the Lord that we have a living hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. You know, you'll be tricking ourselves. We would be fooling ourselves. And then he goes on in the last verse, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ. So the apostle here is telling us, if it is only in this life, while we are alive, and it is good to have hope in this life, don't get me wrong, because as we go through struggles, parents raising children, you know, raise that child, and you know what, I'm putting in all my energies into this child that the Lord has blessed me with, you know, and that child sees it, and that period is open that, you know, this child will come to pass the worst. I mean, I speak of in personal ways here because of my experiences in life. But then there is that hope that a parent has. So yes, it is good to have hope in this life. But hear what the apostle says. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Paul is saying, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for you. If this is all that there is to life, if this is all that we can really hang our hats onto, you're pitiable. It's a pitiful situation, but that is not the situation. This is what Paul is saying. We are not in a pitiable situation. Now we thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he came, he went to the cross of Calvary, and the basis of our hope is him coming, dying on the cross of Calvary, we accepting him through faith, becoming a part of his family. And we can have that hope, as we said earlier on, the foundation on which our hope is built is the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we say that perhaps you are here, perhaps you do not know him as personal Savior and Lord. And yes, you probably have the hope of this life. Good to have that hope. But if it only in this life we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Only in that life we have hope in Christ. It goes beyond this life. We would be of all men most miserable. But thank the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope goes beyond this life. And the door of opportunity still exists that we can come and know him and know him in a personal way. That even as the doors of opportunity are still open, there are still those who can say yes to our Lord Jesus Christ. There are still the opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I want to be a part of your family. Lord, I realize that, yes, this is how my life has been, the trajectory of my life. And I can say that you, if you do not come to know him as a your personal Lord and Savior, then that trajectory will continue and it ends up in eternal damnation. But this doesn't have to be the situation. We thank our Lord Jesus that he came and he went to the cross. We can be born again. So we have looked at Christian hope and we have reviewed faith. The final point this morning in a few minutes. Our Christian hope can be a witness to the unbelievers. Our Christian hope can be a means of witnessing to unbelievers. Have you ever noticed sometimes as believers, when our lives are open book for people to see and we go through trials, we go through testings, and our lives are seen. And oftentimes, our reaction to how we deal with these issues, it is a testimony. And have you noticed, well, I have, that there are instances when someone who does not know Christ will come to you and ask you, I've seen what you're going through, but or what you went through. How did you go through all of that? And they say, you know, they might say, you know, I couldn't go through that. I couldn't go through that because, I mean, you just couldn't deal with what you dealt with. And this is even a means of testifying of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that testimony, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you of the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So why did you go through all of that? You know, it's because of, or why did you deal with the way that you dealt with that? It's because of my hope in Jesus Christ. And right away, an opportunity presents itself. You can speak about the hope that you have in Christ that he gives to you. But and Peter's quite mindful to say it's not going to be a showy thing. You're not going to, you know, jump up and, you know, carry on and all of that. He says with meekness and with fear. Talk about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The valley of the shadow of death that we have passed through. The one who took us through that with hope. Because of him, we can say that this is what he did and this is what he can do for you. It is a testimony of our Christian hope. But this morning, as we close this message, we want to go back and look at Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? This morning, an opportunity to say yes in faith. An opportunity to say, I can't start at the penthouse. Nobody ever does that. And you can't do that. You have to start at the foundation. The foundation is the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, that opportunity is here. It's presented to you. It's presented to us. We can say yes to him. Dig that foundation. And I guarantee you, as sure as night follows day, that he will not fail you. I'm not saying there's not going to be challenges, but I can guarantee you he will bring you through. He is the solid rock.